Greetings. I present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, through the web on CFRU.ca, and right now on CFRU's YouTube channel. I am your master overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond a progressive rock, the branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative genres, a generative anomaly, and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Welcome, good sentries, to a new Audience in the Observational Tower, my music interview series through the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, here on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, online at cfru.ca, and presently streaming live on CFRU's YouTube channel with amazing, dazzling chroma key visuals. Today, we are skewed to focus our gaze upon a new upcoming Guelph electronic artist who creates intriguing pulses and beats through computational means to be relayed by the artists themselves momentarily. Let me introduce and give a warm hand to Ulrich.
Yeah.
Hey, Ulrich, how's it going?
Good.
Can you hear me?
I can.
And I can hear you.
Wonderful.
How's it going today?
Not bad. I'm just drinking some water to get rid of the coffee that I just guiltily drank.
That's very good. Oh, we got some sound there. Nice. Right now, I can't actually see you in... Oh, hi. I see you. Wave, doing some waves. Yes, I'm happy to have you here in the studio, in the station at CFRU. How are you feeling being here?
A little nervous. Oh. Always with performance of any kind. Excited. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess this is certainly something completely different in full for many artists, actually, from all the artists that I've had on the show previously.
Yeah, I mean, it's my first time being on a radio show of any kind. Also, just as a performer, a lot of firsts.
Excellent. Why don't we, I guess the way that we're going to be doing this audience is that we're going to do the main interview for the first half hour, and then we're going to let you wander into your musical territories in the second half of this hour.
Yes.
Excellent. So let's start off with your name, Ulrich. Is this actually your real name or your artist name?
It is not my real name, in fact.
Yeah, I've been calling you Ulrich for, well, since we've actually gotten to, like, I guess, know each other a bit.
Kind of touched. Yeah. It is a German given name. It's my, like, stage name for this solo electronica project, is what I would say.
It's an interesting backstory to the name that we were just discussing some questions before. I don't know if you want to share that.
A little fun tidbit. So I chose the name because I liked the name, and I was considering a whole bunch of different things that I could call myself as, like, a DJ or as, like, a producer. And this one stuck out because I liked the name.
Just like the sound of it?
Just like the sound of it, just like the way it rolled off the tongue. There's some German in my family, but I will say that I told my mother that I was calling myself Ulrike, and she was like, oh, like Ulrike, and she just had the perfect little German back of the tongue rolled R, and I swooned a little bit. I was like, can you say it again? I can't say it that. Wow. That's how it should sound.
Also, should it be pronounced Ulrika?
It's an ul as opposed to a yul. And then the R, it should have the little r kind of back of the tongue roll, which I can't do properly, so I just do a front of the tongue r. But it's Ulrike.
Ulrika.
Yeah.
yeah.
And the short form is Rika, which is also, I think I've more commonly heard as like a German girl's name. Yeah. Yes, I was, you mentioned, when I was looking up this name to see if there was any conflict with anyone else called Ulrike, the other main result is a woman called Ulrike Meinhof, who is a like significant revolutionary, I think communist, like anti-fascist, who has a very like interesting spotty history, has been in and out of jail and wrote some things, etc. But that was the only other really significant name that I found, and I thought, well, I can deal with that. No one's getting confused and thinking she's playing a show. So
I guess, yeah, that is a big contrast between you two. Actually, do you live in Guelph?
Yeah.
Have you grown up here since, like, forever?
No. I come from the bustling city of Owen Sound.
Oh, really?
And I was born and then raised in Owen Sound. And then moved to Guelph for a university degree.
All right. I actually have a cottage nearby in Sauble Beach.
Ah, yes.
Have you gone there a couple times?
I think it's one of those locals don't visit the local attractions things.
Yeah, I get that.
I have been to Sauble once or twice, yes. And done the whole like trip to the beach, etc. I remember there's a speedway in Sauble that is
Sauble Speedway, yeah.
Not many people in my family are into racing, but my dad is actually a big like auto nerd. And I remember several times as a child going to Sauble Speedway. So that's probably my most significant association with Sauble. Oh.
All right. Awesome. Or actually, you did mention your degree here at the university, right?
Mm.
What did you come here to?
So I came to take computer science. And I did maybe 3 years, I think. Yeah. Three chronological years. And then dropped out.
Speaking to you or the way you thought it would go?
There are several reasons. I'm a trans girl and I transitioned right at the start of university, which is a big life stressor.
Yeah, I would understand that, yeah.
And so that was rough, basically.
Trying to balance, like, that personal and the schoolwork.
Yeah, and just trying to, like, remain functional while, like, just everything in my life is completely changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up fairly isolated being in the computer science program. As a trans girl, as a girl,
mm-hmm.
and then as a trans girl, it was very difficult to find, just any kind of functional social network. I ended up, partly because it was, very difficult to get my academics together, and partly because I figured out that I didn't really really want the degree for what I wanted to do. I wanted to write code, and as I discovered kind of halfway through, I wanted to write audio code.
Okay. Is there a difference between normal? I guess there would be different kinds of code, but...
It's a subset. So there are many jobs writing, say, websites and front-end or back-end development, et cetera, et cetera. I could work in the financial sector if I really so desired. But the thing that ended up just being a real motivating factor for me was working with audio. And it is, like, it's a niche, and it's what I kind of want to do long term. That's the dream, really, is to be able to build audio software and get paid for it.
Okay.
And as it turns out, I don't need a degree to do that.
Okay. Like, do you have to get... Is it just experience then, using the code?
Yeah, it's... the software industry in general is sort of somewhat uniquely not that gatekept by having an undergrad degree, as some other professions are. That there's still, you know, a certain amount of bias towards anyone just having an undergrad or just that academic assurance, I guess, that still means something to employers, but it's not the same kind of hard qualifier. It's much more based on portfolio, exactly, and just work that you've done.
Yeah, the projects you've done and being able to show that.
Just being able to show that, like, I've built things and I'm, you know, I'm capable. So, I've been mildly job searching for a while. What I've found is that there are many companies that I've gotten a hold of that have told me that I'm hireable, but it seems that there are not that many jobs. So I think it's a matter of just waiting and getting in touch with as many people as you can and finding the right spot, the right opportunity.
Yeah, but the wait must be very anxiety inducing.
Yes. Yes. In the meantime, I need to have a job. I'm doing all kinds of things in the meantime. At this point, I found ways to survive, and it's not an immediate, like, life stressor that I need to get a job. I also, you know, I keep on working on my own audio projects. I write all of the code that I play music with.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And so that's, you know, I keep myself engaged in terms of sort of keeping up with that dream of being in the industry. Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear that you're in an averagely okay place right now. And well, certainly, I guess your music allows you to work with, I guess, averagely work with those audio codes in some ways, I believe. I guess you'll explain a bit of it when we get there soon. But maybe, like, I guess, more specifically now, how did how did you discover music and... how did you discover music and wanted to do more, compose your own music?
music in general, I think I've been involved in one way or another pretty well all my life. Most of my family have done music through their childhood in one form or another. I was in school bands. I learned to play bass in high school. I still haven't played a bass. And in terms of my current workflow, this is a very kind of specific thing that's developed more recently in the past few years. And I think I started with just a fascination with how digital audio works. And I started at some point on my own just hacking away the world's most unusable music program by taking what I knew about programming and computers, because that was a realm I was very comfortable in, and that that felt like home to me. So thinking all of a sudden, sort of connecting the ability to program and work with computers with being able to make sounds was a kind of a light bulb moment. And so I wrote a program in C, which is a programming language, and that was extremely laborious. And I abandoned that project as soon as I found a more workable environment. Sometimes I look back at it and am very impressed at my persistence.
Is it a hard C or
C is the name of the language. It's a classic programming language that's very sort of bare bones, and
it's like a lot to work with.
It's very like very technical, and it's a lot of work to make something that works and runs. It can be very powerful, and you can write very good software in C, but trying to make like a usable piece of software with all of the conveniences that I want, like an interface that I can interact with, and a whole bunch of other kind of housekeeping things as far as programming goes, it was a lot of reinventing the wheel, because I just started by figuring out that audio files are a stream of numbers, and going, well, I can generate a stream of numbers. That's not that hard. And started just writing a C program to just generate, like calculate sine functions, and sum those values, and ended up with a kind of, it ended up, functionally, it sounded like kind of like a 60s avant-garde kind of composition machine, because it was all, it's very like pure sine tones, the workflow.
Or like the classic synthesizers of?
Yeah, like before synthesizers really started getting produced as synthesizers, when people were hacking bits of radio equipment together, which had very like simple functions, like generating a single test tone, and then would just, you know, work laboriously cutting together bits of tape and so on. It was a lot like that workflow. So what it ended up being was I would type a paragraph of information and generate a single sound file with that entire like composition rendered.
Okay.
And it was all very technical. It was like play this sine tone at 400 milliseconds into the file at such and such amplitude for such and such amount of time.
Oh, so like just lots of inputs to just even get a sound.
Yes, yeah, like very, a very unfriendly interface. Mm-hmm. It was just a command line terminal program. So it was all text-based.
Mm. So I guess that's when you came into what you're using now. Why don't you explain that for us?
Yeah, so at some point, I figured I'd banged far enough away at this, and I was kind of getting to a point where I wanted to go out and see if anyone else had built something better that I could use. And I found Pure Data, which is the open source cousin of a program called Max, which tends to be far better known. And it's essentially, for anyone familiar with modular synthesizers, with their kind of separated functions and all separate little boxes and being able to patch things together with patch cables to create particular setups. It's essentially that in a digital environment.
Like a virtual, like, on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, interaction.
And, you know, the interface is kind of designed after that feel of patching together things with cables and having modules all around the screen. And
that certainly sounds so much better than in C.
Yes. It was satisfying at some point. I attempted to record a little bit of Terry Riley's In C.
Oh.
In C. which was delightful, but aside from that, Pure Data solved just a whole bunch of problems. Yeah, like it had kind of that base chassis of functionality of being able to calculate streams of audio in live time and have an interface that I could affect that audio stream with, etc. But at the same time, it was also very powerful, which is what I wanted. And yeah, from there, I just I switched to Pure Data, started learning Pure Data, and building bits and pieces as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And eventually, at some point, I kind of realized that I might have enough bits and pieces built that worked and that were like good modules that I liked to make some kind of music with them. And at that point, I kind of saw the possibility and thought, oh, wait, maybe I could take this seriously. So that was still when I was in, I was still in school at that point. And,
so it's taking you a couple of years to, I guess this year, I think you've released more music, like on Bandcamp and also YouTube.
Yeah. I think probably like the majority of my output I've released is from the last year or so. Yeah, at some point it just reached a critical mass of having enough like stable software that I could use, and having built enough confidence to use it, to actually sort of be musical. And at that point, yeah, I just started really getting into actually creating things with it.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Does the music you play, or sorry, you perform, is it Is it composed? Is it improvised? Or is it like a combination of spectrum of both?
It's a lot of, it's a combination. So all of the work that I've done in Pure Data that I've recorded and put together into albums or just kind of less official releases that I use my YouTube channel for.
Which is actually like a great way to actually see what Ulrich does. Mm. Like it actually shows how you manipulate the sounds in real time.
Yeah, I thought I started doing screen recordings of my working in Pure Data because I thought it might be interesting, because that's probably one of the more unique parts of the workflow. I don't know of many artists that really have that workflow. So, so speaking of the workflow, it's essentially work on something in a Pure Data patch. So work on like a loop or get like a decent loop as a starting point and then record a session that may be like 4 or 5 times the length of the material that I'm going to get out of it. And just it's all generally improvised. I never have sat down and kind of composed something melody-wise or composed a particular structure of a track before I've recorded the material.
So it's mainly music for music's sake. Is there like there's no concept you want to convey through your music?
Sometimes, I mean, the first album that I recorded the first like sort of full album that I would consider was a simple attempt at giving some kind of direction, because I really enjoyed doing these sessions and just kind of creating, often just letting like some new thing that I just built guide what I was doing. Just it's a lot like playing. At some point I thought, well, I think I might be confident enough to try to actually give an intentional direction. So I just took a list of words that were like descriptors and found a bunch that I liked that were just very kind of evocative and tried to just keep that in my head and use that as a direction.
Oh, cool.
And that's how the album Surface happened. And I ended up just kind of, you know, weeding out a track list of concepts that I thought had been carried off successfully. So there's some direction. I mean, there's an intentionality, but it's definitely an improvisational workflow.
Awesome. Yeah. So we are at the half hour of this hour with us. Do you want to enter your music performance now?
I'd love to make some sounds.
Yeah, I want to hear. We all want to hear. The good sentries want to hear. The listeners want to hear the sounds.
Lovely.
So I will leave you to that. This is Ulrich live here at CFRU 93.3 FM through CFRU.ca and live streaming on CFRU's YouTube channel. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Ulrich here on CFRU 93.3 FM on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. I didn't know how much I needed that, Ulrich. That sounded so mellow and calming and all that stuff. That was excellent job.
Lovely. I'm glad.
Before we have to say goodbye to everyone, I want to quickly plug in that you'll be performing, actually, live next weekend, or this upcoming weekend, I should say, here in Guelph at the Army Navy Air Force Club, 32 Gordon Street, on Sunday, December 8th, as part of my SMK concert curation, alongside Joyful Joyful, Kitzel, and Mark Wiley. Doors at 8:30 p.m., 19 plus event, $10 cover, safe space, physically accessible, no hats policy, and I think that covers it. Ulrich, thank you for coming into this onto the show. Any words of wisdom you want to relay to us before we depart?
Velcro is better than it seems.
Oh, that's an interesting one. And also, where can we find your music?
You can find me on Bandcamp, mainly, for official releases. And you can also find me on YouTube. Both are Ulrike. YouTube channel is Ulrike Music. Or you can just search Ulrike Pure Data. Work hard enough and you'll find me. If you find any of my places on the internet, you'll find the others.
Excellent. Again, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.